Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you buy this? Are words really harmless? The fact is, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. If your tongue ever gets you into trouble and you'd like some help, today's program is for you.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, How to Change for the Better, by showing us how to leverage our words to inspire the best in us and in others. He's building on several points he's already made, so if you missed it, let me encourage you to back up and catch the previous program first, easily done on the app, or maybe later today, go to livingontheedge.org and click Broadcast tab. You'll find the entire series there. Now let's join Chip for part two of his message, The Tongue, God's Tool for Transformation, from James chapter 3.
The book of Proverbs has an interesting little line. It says there's seven things that God hates. I mean, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, just to know the God of the universe, all that he's made, his character. You know, when he lists them in order, there's seven things that he hates. The first thing he hates, haughty eyes. God is always against arrogance. You know the next thing he hates? Lying lips. Lack of integrity when what comes out of our mouth isn't true. Number of things the Proverbs tells us. Slanderous gossip, deceitful flattery, argumentative words, striving, boasting, warning. I want you to know, the tongue can be a tool for good, but your tongue is a reflection of your heart. And even as a believer in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God dwells in you, you still have that flesh. Three areas, I think, that we ought to at least touch on in this warning about the tongue. Gossip, complaining, and grumbling. I'd like you to jot those down, will you? I want to talk just a minute about these because I believe they've been baptized under the category in evangelical Christianity as non-sins. Now, someone sleeps with someone, someone's involved in pornography, you know, someone's addicted to something, someone has an outburst of anger and is abusive, that's sin. I would challenge you to do a little word study on gossip. Man, I'll tell you what, the God of the universe is against it. And you have dual responsibility, not only not to do it, but don't receive it. How many times has someone come up and started to tell you something inappropriate about another person? Little rule, if you're not a part of the solution or part of the problem, it doesn't have to do with you. And when they start telling you a story, you say, excuse me, I'm not a part of the solution, I don't think, and I'm not a part of the problem. You know, I love you. I don't think what you're about to share with me is appropriate. Maybe you should go talk to the person you're talking about. I'm amazed at the number of people that really want to help people but don't have the courage or the love to go to the person they're talking about but say this to this person, this to this person. How often they don't have the facts right, it's devastating. Few places is it more damaging than in a church. Let's guard that. Let's not receive it and let's not do it. And if you have, boy, ask God to forgive you and go back and make it right. Second baptized sin is complaining. See, what do you mean, Chip? Complaining. Complaining has to do with circumstances. Complaining is whining about your circumstances without taking specific steps toward correction. Let me give you some examples of complaining and non-complaining. This is not complaining. I'm on an air flight, my food is cold, and it's not any good, and I say, excuse me, I think this food is very cold, to the stewardess. Could you heat this up or give me some new food because this is not good. That's not complaining. That's an observation of a need. It's not complaining to say, hey, I think we need to spend more time with our kids. That's not complaining, and let's come up with a plan. This is complaining. Food stinks. I don't like it. It's too cold in here. Music was too loud. Our kids are too noisy. You need to be a better wife. You need to be a more sensitive husband. When you complain, just try it on this way. When I complain, you are saying, let's flip it around. Dear God, the weather you made today stinks. Dear God, the situation you brought into my life today stinks. You must not be a good God. You don't care about me. You're not sovereign. You don't bring anything to bear. The adversity and what I'm going through in my life is unfair. So you're not just, you're not fair, you're not good, and you're not sovereign. And I'm going to whine and be negative and complain. I want you to know the scripture is pretty clear. He's a good God in control. What he's brought into your life is purposeful. And what he wants you to do is give thanks for it, come under the lordship of Christ, and ask, what do you want to do in my life? Open up to Exodus. And the Lord heard the complaining and the grumbling of the people. And their complaining rose up to the Lord their God. He said, Moses, step aside. I'm going to bring out the royal flamethrower. Because these are an ungrateful people with hard, stubborn hearts. Because no matter what I do for them, they are hard-hearted and stiff-necked. They whine and they complain. Complaining, gossiping, and grumbling. You know, when believers go to work with that kind of attitude, when believers come home from work with that kind of attitude, when believers relate to one another around the table, assuming they're around the table, talking to one another, praying for one another, caring for one another at least a few times a week, when we grumble, 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 complain, 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 gossip, 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 you know what it is? It is a tiny spark that sets a great forest on fire, and it destroys relationships. And God doesn't take that lightly. But we have grown so accustomed. When's the last time someone said to you, hey, you know, I've heard people say, hey, I really think you're drinking too much and I really care about you, or I'm really concerned about your marriage, or I think you really need to address this issue with one of your kids because, you know, they're really gone off and we want to help you with that. When's the last time you've heard anyone say, well, you know something, your tongue, you're always negative and complaining, and, you know, is there something unresolved in your heart that you want to talk about? Is there something specific I could pray for you on? Because it's evidence from what's coming out of your mouth that your view of God is very low. Had anybody share stuff like that? When's the last time anyone, when you shared something, said, wait a minute, what, excuse me, I'm not sure you should be sharing this with me. I think this may be inappropriate. See, part of the anemic state of the body of Christ in our world is there certain sins that we've just gotten so cozy and used to, no one even thinks they're sin anymore. But God. But he still treats them that way, and there is not the blessing of God. And where do you see it? Right here, the tongue. And I'm as guilty of allowing negative, complaining things go out, and I'm as guilty of, in the name of developing a ministry, beginning to share something about a person. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to make sure I've said it to him or her face to face, and the reason for sharing this is strategic for the glory of God. And if it's not, it's wrong. Let's up that value, okay? Notice now the reason. The reason for this is that our tongue reveals the true condition of our hearts. Whatever is inside of me, what's really there, will come out eventually in my speech. I can fool and I can conceal under pressure, but in a crisis especially, what comes out of my mouth will reveal my true character. Exactly what he says in verses 9 to 12. Follow along as I read. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. And then notice the compassion here. My brothers, this shouldn't be. I mean, this doesn't add up. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? An emphatic no is implied. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? No way. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In a word, whatever is in the well comes out in the water. It's really what it's saying. Whatever's really in the well comes out in the water. You want to know what's really in the well of your heart. You want to know where you're at in the terms of character. You want to know where you're at in terms of the fruit of the Spirit and Christ being formed in you. Just look at your speech. Don't look at how many times you attend church, how much you're reading the Bible, how much money you're giving. You want to know where you're really at? All those things will get played out. But he says, you look at what's coming out of your mouth. Because you can be faithful in external religious activities and have your heart not barely touched. I have a couple passages I want to read, because I want you to know that this isn't just isolated. Just follow along. I want to read the very words of Christ. Jesus says this: either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. He's speaking to a religious group here. In fact, religious leaders. And he says to them, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good?" In other words, it's impossible. For the mouth speaks out of what? That which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your word you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned. I just hope from that right there you say to yourself, God, just in the privacy of your heart, God, I am going to reevaluate how I listen to my words. God, I had no idea that what comes out of my mouth is so evident of what's in me. God, I'm going to begin with a carefulness to be like David and say, "Oh Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Oh, guard my lips. May the meditations of my heart be pure." I am going to take with a level of seriousness like maybe never before what comes out of my mouth, because I realize now, according to Jesus, it's the true reflection of my character. And he's going to judge me based on those things. And if you wonder where it comes from, Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" See, part of the struggle with the Christian life is, you know what? How do you know what's going on there? I think what God's interested in is you identifying on this list where he wants to speak to you. Sometimes we're so concerned about, okay, what if you got them all jotted down just right? Then you're going to stick it in your Bible. And if you're real organized, you'll stick it in a file folder. And if you're real organized, you'll put that in a filing cabinet. And then if you teach somewhere sometime, you might use it. What the Bible's very clear about, it's not storing or gathering information that brings about transformation. It's acting on the truth that you get. So I'm going to go through some characteristics of how people speak and what it reveals down deep in their heart. And what I'd like you to do is just lean back and say, "Holy Spirit, as he goes through these, will you help me honestly identify maybe what's going on inside of me so that I could bring that to you and get help?" By the way, God's not down on you. He loves you. He died for you. He cares for you. He wants to change you. He's for you. And so God wants your tongue to be a tool to help you. And so if words of harshness come out of your mouth, it usually reveals a heart of anger. So if you find that you speak harshly, say, "Lord, what am I angry about?" It may not even be related to the issue. If words of negativity come out, it often means there's a heart of fear. If there is an overactivity, like you talk all the time, it's a heart that's unsettled. It's not at rest. You don't have a sense of peace. And so when there's silence, it makes you nervous. And so you fill it in with words. If there's a heart of criticism, words of criticism, often it's a heart of bitterness. If you're critical, and you know, by the way, these words, they don't have to come out your mouth, do they? You can sit and watch people and and you're just critical. That tells you what's in your heart. If there's filth that comes out of your mouth, you know, just the gross four-letter words or constant sexual innuendo, it means your heart's impure. God wants to get in there and clean it up. If there's boasting, it means you have an insecure heart. See, all of us are insecure. Some people express it in strong tendencies, other people in weak tendencies. So when you find someone who's strutting their stuff and real loud and pushy and powers up on people, and this is what I know, and it makes everyone feel small, what you know is a very insecure person just walked in the room. And when you find someone who won't look and is super, super shy and won't make eye contact, they're insecure. So I'm insecure, you're insecure. So now I kind of got liberated and thought, well, now why don't we just get that one out on the table? So then those powerful people don't intimidate me anymore because I know they're really hurting. And people don't want to make eye contact. Well, gosh, they're not rejecting me. They're insecure just like I'm insecure. So part of my early conversations is letting people out early and knowing, yeah, I'm real insecure. I could be intimidated by you. Now that we got that out of the way, how you doing? What's going on in your life? And I'll share what's going on with mine. It's liberating. Then the masks come off. And then you get to love each other. Notice here, if encouraging words are coming out of your mouth, you got a happy heart. You want to build up other people. If gentle words come out of your mouth, you got a tender heart. If truthful words come out of your mouth, you've got an honest heart. And if kind words come out of your mouth, you got a loving heart. So let me ask you, what does your mouth reveal about your heart? You know, look at the positive as well as the negative, all right? Where do you see God's been at work and encouraging and building and growing you? And where do you see, I never thought about it that way? Turn the page. Let me give you some final things just by way of application. And first is, you may be here and say to yourself, hey, what I realize is I need a new heart. I don't have just a bad heart or a dark heart. I need a new one. I don't know Christ. The lights are coming on. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. She's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Right now, what you can say is, God's application, if you're here and you're not absolutely sure you're a part of God's family, is you can ask God for a new heart. In fact, Jeremiah promised that when the Messiah came, that's part of what he'd do. And you can say, oh, all these other people, they don't have it all together. They don't all know each other. Their lives aren't working out. They're probably as desperate and insecure and troubled as I am. That's why I fit here. That's why I like it here. It's a group of people with tons of struggles that are willing to get them out and be open and honest. When you come to God and say, you know what? I realize my heart is in rebellion against you. I have sinned and I've never been forgiven, and I'm going to turn away from my sin. That means repent and receive the free gift of Jesus. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead to prove that's true. And today, he's knocking on the door of your heart and says, I want to come in. You can say, That's what I want. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Come into my life. He will forgive you. The Spirit of God will come into your life. And then he'll start you on a journey of becoming more like him. 3 steps forward, couple back. Will it be easy? Of course it won't be easy. You live in a fallen world. But now you'll go through it with him, the power of his word, the power of his spirit, and the community of his people. Second, by way of application of where we go from here, start listening to your speech and look below the waterline. As you talk and as you hear family members and friends talk, listen to the speech so that you can look below the waterline. I was in a meeting and someone asked me a question, and I went off on one of these, got real, man, you know, real passionate. And then I got done, and when I got done, it was like the peace of Christ left. And I just looked at all those guys and I said, guys, I don't know where that came from. There's something going on down inside of me when you ask a question on that button that I got to deal with. I don't know what it is, but it wasn't like, you know, I was mad at anybody, but it was like something really bugged me to the point, and how I expressed it, it just wasn't the way God wanted me to. And so I just had to own it, ask him to forgive me right there in the room. And, you know, from studying this, I said, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why that came out that strong, but I need to go talk with the Lord and work that out. See, that's what God wants you to do. Use the tongue as a tool for transformation. Third, determined to deal with core issues. And as you see here on the bottom, notice the little list I gave you. You know, don't like pull out a pen and say, oh, great. Let's see, am I a complainer? No, I'm a bragger, a liar, a gossiper, a criticizer. Flippant and sarcastic. Oh, yeah, boy. Hey, honey, let's work on this one. I talk too much? No. But which one of those apply to you? And then ask yourself, okay, if I'm a complainer, why am I so ungrateful? If I talk abrasively, why am I so angry? Go through there and flip them over and say, Lord, show me. And the final thing I would say is just commit to bring your speech under the Lordship of Christ. Just pray Psalm 141:3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Watch over the door of my lips. Just every day say, I'm going to take seriously my speech. And when you do, God loves you so much, he's going to do some exciting things.
Chip will be back in just a minute with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today is from his series, How to Change for the Better. Now, in this series, Chip uncovers the secrets to lasting life change. You'll learn how to see the real issues beneath what needs to change and then sustain your commitments even when you don't feel like it. If lasting change is what you really want, listening to this teaching again will help you get there. And to do that, or to share this series with a friend, it's easy on the app. If you're a radio or podcast listener, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. We'd love to get this resource into your hands. Well, now here's Chip to tell you about a great offer.
We wanted to do something special to encourage you to take the next step in whatever way God might be directing you. It's called BOGO, except it has a little twist. Instead of buy one, get one, our intention is you buy one and give one. Are you ready for this? You buy any book that we have, and we will give you a second one free to give to someone that you want to help. We're all about helping Christians live like Christians, and so we're taking this step of faith to give you the second book with the idea that you can reach out to a friend or a family member, because we're absolutely committed to helping you love and minister to the people that you care about in your life. So go to the website, livingontheedge.org, and check out all the books there, but choose one that you believe will really make a difference in someone's life that you love and care about. I hope you'll do it today.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. You order the one you want, and we'll send you a second one to give away. Just go to livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers and choose the book you think will have the most impact on your life. Place your order, and we'll send you a second book absolutely free to give to a friend. For more detail, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
When I taught this message, it affected our people deeply, because it affected me deeply as well. We all have things that come out of our mouth, words that hurt, words that harm. And in about the middle of today's broadcast, I walk through the kind of speech and what it might reflect in a person's heart. And I remember teaching this in the life of our church, and I literally had a line of people who came up with a pencil who said, "Would you go over that list again for me slowly?" And so knowing that, it was a good tool for us. I hope it was helpful to you. Let me walk through that. If you need a moment just to grab something to write with, you might go ahead and pick that up. But Jesus said that we will give an account. Think of this, Matthew 12. We will give an account for every careless word that proceeds out of our mouth. He said we will be judged on the basis of words. And I don't know about you, but that is very motivating. And so let me walk through the kind of words and the kind of heart that it might reflect. Let's start with the positive side. A singing tongue often just reveals a happy heart. You know, there's joy in your soul. You'll automatically find yourself humming or singing. A gentle word reveals a tender heart. A truthful speech reflects an honest heart. And kind words reflect a loving heart, a real concern for people. On the flip side, and quite honestly, they wanted this list. Harshness in my words often reflect a heart of anger. Negative words often reflect a heart of fear. An overreactive tongue often reflects an unsettled heart. Critical words reflect a bitter heart, and a filthy mouth or tongue reflects an impure heart. Finally, a boasting, prideful, arrogant mouth reflects an insecure heart. God wants you to change. Only by His power and grace can you do it. But the tongue is a tool to help you see what's in your heart, so that you can bring it to the throne of grace, find forgiveness, be cleansed, and then be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the kind of man, woman that honors Him in a fallen world.
Well, just before we close, we want you to know that as a staff, we ask the Lord to help you take whatever your next faith step is. And we'd love to hear how it's going. Would you take a minute to send us a note or give us a call? Either one is easy. Just send a quick note to chip@livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.